Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Melcor REIT fourth quarter and year-end conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Darren Rayburn, Chief Executive Officer of Melcor REIT. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Dave. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our conference call and webcast for the 2013 fiscal year ending December 31st, 2013. I'm Darren Rayburn. With me on this call is Jonathan Chia, Chief Financial Officer of the Melcor REIT, who will speak in a few moments. I trust you've all had an opportunity to review the material related to this call, including the management discussion and analysis and the financial statements. Just in case some of you haven't, these materials are available on the investor relations section of our website at melcorreit.ca and on sedar.com. Before we begin, I'd like to point out that certain statements made during the course of this call may be forward-looking. For a complete discussion of items that may cause actual results to differ, please refer to the business environment and risk section of our annual MD&A. With that, I'd like to turn the call over to Jonathan Chia to discuss key financial results for the year ended December 31st, 2013. John?
Thanks, Darren, and good morning, and welcome to everyone on this call this morning. We report our financial results in Canadian dollars and in accordance with international financial reporting standards. We supplement our financial reporting with non-standard measures, including funds from operations, or FFO, adjusted funds from operations, or AFFO, and net operating income, or NOI. We believe these measures are important in evaluating our performance, but caution listeners that they may not be comparable to similar measures presented by other companies. You'll find the definitions of these non-standard measures in our MD&A, as well as reconciliations to the most comparable IFRS measurement. I will now walk everyone through the highlights of our results for the year ended December 31st, 2013. Rental revenue was $39.33 million, representing growth of 5% over 2012. Rental revenue during our forecast period was $29.64 million, exceeding our nine-month forecast by 4%. Revenue growth was driven primarily by higher-than-forecasted average occupancy and base rents. The acquisitions completed also had a positive impact on our rental revenues. As we noted in our last conference call, operating expenses caught up in the fourth quarter as expected as we completed our maintenance programs for 2013. We also received more snow in Q4, which I know won't get us any sympathy from our friends out east, but that also impacted our Q4 operating costs. Despite this, our operating expenses and recoveries were within our expectations for the forecast period. Net rental income was $23.40 million for growth of 6% over 2012. Net rental income for the forecast period was $17.55 million, exceeding forecast by 6%. Our same asset NOI grew by 2% as a result of higher base rents achieved through a successful leasing and tenant renewal program. Our G&A expenses were $1.33 million and 12% above forecast for the nine-month forecast period. This variation was a result of certain annual public company costs that were expensed in the eight months of post-IPO earnings, but were forecasted for a 12-month period. We expect our G&A expenses to be in the range of 3-4% of revenue going forward. Adjusted funds from operations for the nine-month forecast period was $10.49 million, exceeding forecast by 5% directly as a result of higher NOI. Per unit AFFO for the forecast period was 18 cents for the quarter and 56 cents year to date, compared to 19 cents and 54 cents in the forecast. Our debt to gross book value ratio increased slightly to 51%, resulting from acquisitions totaling $25.55 million we completed in the second half of 2013. This is well within our maximum threshold of 60% and our target range of 50 to 55%. We made distributions of 5.625 cents per trust unit in October, November, and December as we had forecasted. The fair value of our portfolio increased by 3.8% compared at December 31st, 2013, with fair value gains of $16.95 million. This increase was a result of increased lease activity as well as downward pressure on our weighted average capitalization rate, which decreased 7 basis points to 6.41% compared to 2012. We continue to be successful in reducing our cost of borrowing. Our weighted average interest rate at the end of the year was 3.98% compared to 4.57% at the end of 2012. I will now turn the call back over to Darren to discuss progress against our strategy and some operating highlights for the quarter.
Thanks, John. Since our initial IPO in May 2013, we've been focused on delivering the results we promised to our unit holders. As John reported, we've not only successfully delivered on what we've promised, we've exceeded or met forecasts on all key performance indicators, including rental revenue, NOI, AFFO, and occupancy. Prudent and efficient management, strong leasing activity, and successful property acquisitions contributed to these results, I'd like to thank our property management, asset management, and leasing teams for their efforts in 2013 and the positive results the REIT has experienced because of those efforts. Our growth strategy is simple, to acquire and to improve. We executed this strategy by completing two third-party acquisitions in 2013 and completing a third acquisition subsequent to the year-end close. These acquisitions continued to diversify our portfolio and increased our gross leasable area by 8% for the year ending 2013 and for a total of 12% including the 2014 acquisition. These acquisitions fit well with our strategy of growing in the markets that we know best in order to leverage existing market knowledge. The three assets are all immediately accretive to the REIT. The second aspect of our acquisition strategy is to capitalize on our proprietary acquisition pipeline via the right of first offer on Melcor Development's commercial properties under development. As properties are completed and leased by Melcor Developments, we will consider their fit with the objectives of the REIT. To date, there have not been any opportunities that fit the REIT acquisition criteria. However, several properties are working their way through the final development and construction stages. The improved side of our internal growth strategy is all about optimizing operating efficiency and being the landlord of choice through our signature customer care program. Our operating efficiency objectives are firstly to increase rental income from existing properties. Our weighted average base rents increased 7% for the reporting period. Number two, to invest in asset upgrades that increase operating efficiency, promote our sustainability and energy reduction strategies, and enhance property attractiveness and desirability. In 2013, we continued with our maintenance program and completed two substantial redevelopments in office properties, resulting in significantly increased occupancies in these properties. And number three, to increase occupancy levels across our portfolio. Occupancy as of December 31st was 90.6%. Our average occupancy rate is up in the quarter with strong leasing activity throughout and subsequent to the quarter end. We expect to see continued activity, especially with small to medium-sized tenants within our portfolio. Tenant retention is also critical to our success, so our focus and commitment to customer service remains high. Our signature customer care program seeks to deliver exceptional service to our customers through upgrades and redevelopment of existing assets, through continuous client contact, hands-on building management, and responsiveness to our clients. In the third quarter of 2013, we completed a new signature care website for clients, so they now have several electronic options for reporting concerns and maintenance issues in addition to our 1-866-MELCOR-1 24-hour call-in line. Another measure to our commitment to customer service is the percentage of calls that we respond to and report a client issue within 30 minutes. For the three quarters in 2013, we recorded a 95.3% efficiency rating in customer response through our 1-866-MELCOR-1 client response center. Looking at a few other key metrics for our business, the profile of our expiring leases over the next 5 years remains balanced and manageable, averaging 11.5% per year, with the highest single year being 2014 at 18% of our gross leasable area renewing. As of December 31st, 2013, we've already exceeded our forecasted renewal square footage for the full forecast period, and on a cumulative basis for renewals and new leasing, we've completed 94% of the total forecasted leasing on a gross leasable area basis. Overall, we have a strong portfolio of income-producing assets, and we will actively seek out suitable acquisitions to expand our asset base. We anticipate that commercial real estate fundamentals will remain healthy in Western Canada with stable to slightly increasing occupancy rates. We see continued stability in the activity levels of all of our markets and anticipate continued growth on average in both rental renewals and rental rates as leases renew. We will continue to focus on the fundamentals of the bricks and mortar in our real estate. Prior to taking your questions, I want to reiterate how pleased we are delivering on what we promised to our unit holders. I'm pleased with the performance of Melcor Development's asset and property management teams providing services to the REIT. Our focus continues to be on providing signature customer care, maximizing occupancy, and controlling expenses while paying attention to the real estate fundamentals. Today, there are many positive factors that will continue to shape our growth and our future. We have a well-established and diversified portfolio of assets in high-growth Western Canadian markets. We have connectivity to a solid pipeline of high-quality assets being developed over the next 5 to 10 years. We have an exceptional and experienced management team and leasing our properties and overseeing strategic investments in our assets to maximize their potential. Coupled with our disciplined approach to executing our growth strategy, we remain confident in our future and our ability to continue to deliver results and consistent returns to our unit holders. We will continue to perform and deliver. We'd now be happy to take your questions. Dave, can you please open the phone line?
Thank you. Questions will now be taken from the telephone lines. If you wish to ask a question at this time and you are using a speakerphone, please ensure you lift the handset before you make any selections. If you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. You may also cancel your question at any time by pressing the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have any questions. There will be a brief pause while participants register. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Jenny Ma with Canaccord Genuity. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Jonathan, I wanted to talk to you about the recoveries, the lower recoveries in Q4, the higher expenses. It looks like it was a pretty big impact of the same property number for the fourth quarter. Was that the primary driver, or were there other items involved in that?
I'm sorry, say that again. What was the primary driver?
The lower recoveries, or rather the higher operating expenses that were expected.
Yeah, no, well, the expenses were expected because I think when we were reporting in the third quarter, we were tracking well below what we had forecast. The recovery number not changing just shows that on a budgeting standpoint, we were pretty on target. What we typically do is we recover from our tenants on a straight line basis, but our operating expenses may ebb and flow quarter to quarter based on what we have planned. So we all expected in the fourth quarter for the expenses to catch up, knowing that we were pretty much behind, but we were completing a few of the maintenance projects.
Okay.
So at the end of the year, our recoveries kind of came right bang on where we thought they would.
Okay. Are any of the expenditures expected to have an impact going forward into Q1?
No, they won't. They were all completed at the end of the year.
Okay, so I'm looking at the forecast for Q1 14 that you guys revised, and it looks like the revenue number is coming a bit lower if you consider the acquisitions that you did. Can you speak a little bit more to that?
Well, I think at the end of the day, we're a little bit we're trying to be conservative and making sure that we are attaining the numbers that we're putting out there. The second is that we had on one of our properties, in one of our properties, we had a tenant unfortunately go dark, and that represented about 17,000 feet that was not in our forecast. That property has been since released, but they're not going to be paying rent until later in the second quarter. So we revised our forecast a little bit based on that unexpected vacancy.
When did they go vacant?
They went vacant in the fourth quarter,
okay.
But as part of the process, we were able to negotiate a rent holdback on acquisition. So at the end of 2013, we actually, on a net basis, didn't see any impact on earnings. But as of January 1st, how it worked was we had to get paid as a lump sum. So we actually had rental continuance for 6 months. But because... From an accounting perspective, we were required to receive all those funds as a lump sum. We recorded the earnings all in our 2013 numbers, so it kind of impacted our 2014 numbers. At least it will in the first quarter.
Okay, so
forecast period.
Okay,
so on 2013 on a net basis, you'll see that our occupancy was affected, but on an earnings perspective, it wasn't.
Right.
But that being said, again, in the first quarter, late in the fourth quarter, we've been able to release that property. So we should see it come back in the second quarter here.
Where was that property located?
In Edmonton.
Okay. And my final question is about the comment that Darren made about the leasing progress. So you mentioned that you have completed 94% of your leasing forecast. So how much is that in terms of just total lease expiries for the year?
Jenny, it's Darren, and I'll answer that in two ways. So when I use that comment about 94% of the leasing forecast, that would be the forecast up until the end of March 2014, which is our forecast period.
Okay.
So if we look at what's expiring in 2014, and again, I'll answer that in a different way, you know, 2014 is our single biggest year of expiry over the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And to date, we've completed just over 65% of the renewal GLA expected in 2014.
Okay.
And, I mean, of course, we're only 3 months into it, but we've had a specific strategy to deal with our largest tenants and most of our tenants in advance so that we can balance our expiry period throughout 2014.
Okay. So, in other words, the majority of your lease expiries for the year have been addressed?
Correct.
Okay, great. Thanks. I'll turn it back.
Thanks, Jenny.
Thank you. The next question is from Dean Wilkinson with CIBC World Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Dean.
I just kind of expand a little on what Jenny was asking there in regards to sort of Q4 same property NOI. I mean, it looks like there's a lot of moving items here. The recovery's down, operating expenses down, big difference on the straight line rent adjustment. So what really drove the biggest difference in that 14% same property drop?
I think first it is definitely operating costs. We were forecasting that it would catch up in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And it did, because we had all those projects in the pipeline at Q3, and we knew that. And so we were trying to make sure that everyone understood that from a forecast basis that wasn't changing it, that we were forecasting kind of the number we thought we'd end up at. And I think that's at the end of the day what we did. I mean, other than that, there's not much other movement anywhere else. Rental income or rental rents were pretty stable. And when we talk about the straight line adjustment, I mean, it was within our expectations as well, in a general sense.
Was the larger number from 2012 to 2013, dropping from 449 to 81, the result of some leases expiring, or?
I'm not totally sure. I'll have to follow up on that.
Okay.
So why don't you leave that with me, Dean?
Sure thing. And then just back on the leasing renewals that you've done through 2014, what kind of bumps have you seen in the renewals?
Dean, just I'll answer that a bit generally because, of course, we're in, you know, three different asset classes and
yep.
multiple markets. So, you know, what we've been telling the market is we've seen increases. Again, I can't forecast the 7% increase that we saw in 2013 through 2014, but what we are finding is in the markets there's still opportunity for upsizing a lot of our rents. So very generally, I'll answer that to you saying we still anticipate to see increases, but I'm just not comfortable giving you an overall average, not taking into account, you know, Kelowna is a different market to Regina is a different market to Calgary and Edmonton.
Sure, but generally probably shouldn't expect the same kind of increase we maybe saw last year.
No, I wouldn't forecast the 7%.
Okay.
Again, I hope to surprise everyone, but at this point we're just not forecasting that.
Sounds good. That's all I've got.
Thanks, Dean.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from Mike Markidis with Desjardins Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks, and good morning. Just to make sure I heard you correctly on the true-ups in the quarter, John, so this was all due to, it wasn't an adjustment to recoveries, it was just an increase in the expenses due to some programs that were finishing up, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and is this something, like was the amount that was booked this quarter in terms of a catch-up on the expense line, is this kind of in line with what you would normally see in the fourth quarter every year?
It would be. This year was probably a little bit more. I mean, we finished the year on budget, but we were hoping to finish a little under budget. But like I said before, we had quite a bit of snowfall in November, December here in Western Canada, particularly in Alberta. And Darren can maybe speak to more to this from an operations perspective, but we had enough where we actually had to haul snow off our parking lots at our retail centers and our office buildings. And that's usually an additional charge that we don't usually forecast. So on top of our maintenance projects, we had a little bit more snowfall, which had an impact as well.
And so your ability to recover those amounts, I guess, if you came in lower on the expense side, would your recoveries been adjusted downwards? I'm just trying to understand how.
Not that much. As part of Watergrove, our manufactured home asset. Those recoveries are their gross rents that we charge in terms of, you know, how much we charge a lease per lot. So those costs, those operating costs aren't recoverable. But Darren, is there any more color you'd like to share with that?
Sure. Yeah, Mike. I mean, the reality is if we had a mild winter in November, December, and didn't spend the budgeted money on something like snow removal, we'd have a choice to make. It would be to either refund our tenants if our operating costs were below budget, or look to complete some of those preventative maintenance items in December that otherwise weren't budgeted. So our goal is always to to come in at or close to our budget on recoverable operating costs. And, of course, with a 90% occupied portfolio, that also helps our bottom line because there is 10% of vacancy that the landlord tends to pay for.
Okay. Fair enough.
Does that answer your question, Mike?
Yeah, no, that's good. Thank you. And then just going forward, looking at the 2014 lease rolls, I think you said 65% of that has now been committed. And of that 65%, would that be all renewals, or is it kind of 75% renewals?
Just to be clear, the 65% is just renewals.
Okay.
I didn't break out the new leasing when we look at just 2014. My comments to Jenny earlier about the 94% cumulative of renewals and leasing was for the forecast period from May 2013 to March 2014. So to be clear, Mike, if we're just looking at 2014 renewals, that's that number of 65%.
Yeah, no, exactly, and that's what I'm getting to. So so you've got 65% of your 2014 committed, and is that all renewals, or is it some? I guess what I'm getting to is, are you expecting any significant leases where you're going to have some downtime because somebody's leaving, and then you've got the lease, say, arranged, but you might have some downtime due to the timing of the new tenant coming in?
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, we are not.
You're not.
The 65% are straight renewals of tenants continuing their occupancy in the portfolio.
Okay. And within that 65%, you said you got most of the large spaces looked after?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Five tenants, we now have three of them completed, and we're about to have another one completed this week.
Okay. And then just finally, maybe if you could just touch on the acquisition environment. Obviously, you know, you're kind of at the, I don't want to say mercy is a bad word, but you're on the timing of your parent with respect to the development pipeline. What about the third-party environment? How is that looking in the first couple months of this year?
Sure. Well, clearly the markets have changed somewhat. What we've been talking about since we IPO'd is the benefit that the Melco REIT has of operating in markets that we know well. And of the two acquisitions we completed in 2013, again, there wasn't a huge competition for those acquisitions amongst other REITs, yet we're still able to seek them out and find them. So the answer to your question, Mike, is we still see opportunities to harvest acquisitions in the markets that we know, and our goal all along is not just to rely on the Melco Developments pipeline, but to continue to build our portfolio the way Melco Developments built the portfolio over the last many, many years. So we still see opportunities in our markets, and the three acquisitions we completed, that two in 2013 and the subsequent one in first quarter 2014 is just a sample of what we will continue to seek out.
If you had to wager maybe a small objective in terms of your target for third party acquisitions, would you have one or just more a new
Mike, it's so opportunity based. I'm not comfortable wagering what it would be, but I can tell you that we continue to seek out the opportunities, and we'll find more.
I've had a bad choice of words this morning, mercy and wagering. I think I'll stop there. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Once again, as a reminder, you may queue up for questions at any time by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. The next question is from Nelson Ma with Laurentian Bank. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, guys. I was just wondering, you know, on your occupancy, like quarter over quarter, right, I noticed that your Saskatchewan and BC was down. So I was running, like, why was that?
John, I can take that one. Thanks, Nelson. When we talk about Saskatchewan and BC, we have to split out BC because in Saskatchewan, our properties are 100% leased. So where we found the Kelowna market, not only from a residential but from a commercial perspective, the Kelowna market has been somewhat depressed the last number of years. And what we found in that market, we have two assets in Kelowna and had one large vacancy come back. So the numbers seem a bit skewed. Again, having said that, we've relet part of that large vacancy already, and we expect to bring those occupancy numbers back up in line to our forecast and our projections.
So was that Wentworth that left?
That sorry, now, did you say when was it let?
No, sorry. Wentworth.
Oh, sorry. No, it wasn't Wentworth that left. There's an 11,000 square foot vacancy beside Wentworth in the Kelowna Business Center.
Okay.
That was a place called CMS Toys, and they're a seasonal renter, so they show it, you know, occupied and then vacant as of January. We've actually cut the space in half and re-leased half of it, but that is not showing up on our numbers because it is not effective until May 1st.
Okay, got it. Another thing, just on the timing of vend-ins, from developments, so we think, what, the end of 2014 something might go in then?
Well, Nelson's John. We haven't quite nailed down a date. I guess the general expectation is going to be 2014, but that's more in terms of when we'll be presenting the properties to the REIT trustees. And the timing of when they would actually be vended in is really up to our independent trustees and, you know, the timing that might work based on their assessment of the market and all those other factors.
Okay, got it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is a follow-up question from Jenny Ma with Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Just wanted to clarify on the forecast for Q1 of 14. Can you confirm that the cold weather has been fairly persistent in the new year and whether or not higher costs related to that, snow removal, et cetera, is factored into your forecast to some extent?
Johnny, I can take that if you like. Jenny, it's Darren. Well, the nice news is it was 10 degrees in Edmonton yesterday. So, although it's a sloppy mess, we're happy to see it down. So I can tell you that when we budget, we typically budget the January to March period to be a colder period, higher utility costs and higher snow removal costs. But having said that, this year our cold snap ended about mid-January, so we
okay.
Don't see the same impact at all.
Okay. And then just another question on your BC properties. Just given that it's such a small proportion of your portfolio and they haven't really kept up with the rest of your portfolio, is there any view to just selling those properties and tightening up your portfolio to focus on Alberta and Saskatchewan?
No, Jenny, there's no view to selling those properties. We strongly believe in those properties. We've owned them for a number of years. And both properties are on Highway 97. And what that means for those of you who haven't been to Kelowna, B.C., it's a main thoroughfare in and out of that region. So we all know real estate. We know about location. So fantastic locations. Those properties will typically lead the markets. So for that reason, there's no thought about selling them. We're just working through the typical ups and downs that we see in real estate where sometimes leasing is strong and sometimes leasing is weak. So we'll work through it and we'll fill those buildings back up.
And also, Jenny, it's not outside our portfolio. We do have land development and an office in Kelowna as well. So we have feet on the ground in Kelowna where as part of our operating strategy is to be present in the markets that we're in. So from an operating standpoint, it's not as small or a distraction as it kind of appears in the REIT. We have people on the ground there as well, just as part of our larger business, which also helps.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from Neil Downey with RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Morning, Neil.
For everyone's benefit, could you perhaps recap or go over the capitalization rate on the three acquisitions, Q3, Q4, and in the new year?
Sure. I'll do that for you, Neil, too. And I'll talk in ranges because, as we know, capitalization rates are somewhat subjective. So, for example, Liberty Plaza in Red Deer was a cap rate just over 8%. The Lethbridge Industrial Warehouse was a cap rate just over 9%. And the Coast Home Center, which was our original acquisition, was a cap rate just in the high 7s, low 8s. So that gives you a flavor of the acquisitions we're able to find in the markets that we're in.
Okay. The LC Industrial, who is the tenant in that warehouse?
The largest tenant, so there are actually three tenants, but the largest tenant that has most of the space is referred to as AHS, which is the Alberta Health Services, which is the provincial government. And
yep.
That particular warehouse is all the medical supplies for all the clinics and hospitals in Southern Alberta work through that warehouse.
Okay. And John, maybe just flipping to the forecast that you revised it upwards by, call it 550,000 roughly for for Q1 of 14 versus the IPO forecast. How do we think about the expected performance of the initial 27 properties? Are they on track to hit that $5.57 million of NOI, or will they be behind that number or above that number?
Neil, I'm going to skirt around that a little bit, and I'll admit that openly. I think what, and I'll go back to kind of how we set that forecast in the first place, and to say that forecast was conservative when we went on IPO, and we did that, and we wanted to put a forecast that was achievable, and that was realistic. So, you know, based on the results that we've had through the forecast period, I think we've been really diligent in making sure that we would deliver what we promised. And we're working towards the numbers that are in that forecast, and you know, that's kind of our position, is that, you know, we don't want to come say, you know, we're going to finish ahead or behind, but the forecast was conservative, and we will deliver what we promised.
Okay. The weighted average base rent at year end of $17.49. You show how that's up 7% year over year. How do you get 7% growth on base rents across the portfolio? I mean, is there a simple way to disaggregate that between rent steps versus leasing spreads? Is there any impact on a same asset basis, i.e. we're comparing 27 properties a year ago versus 29 properties today? Is there some impact due to the acquisitions, or how do we think about that 7% increase in base rents?
Well, I think, you know, I'll take that one, John, just to let you know. Neil, I think it's a combination of all of the above. And again, this is going to be a bit of a general question, because if you look at specific markets, there's particular growth opportunities depending on the market that you're in. And it was really depending on the timing of some of the increase. For instance, in Edmonton in 2007 was a large leasing year with the highest rates we've seen in many, many years. So some of those leases are coming off without huge opportunities for increase, where in other markets there are. So I haven't answered your question directly, other than by telling you we see that increase potential as being a combination of, you know, rental steps, renewals, and the rest of it. Has that partially answered your question, Neil?
I suppose in a very, very generic sense, yes. Candidly, it seems like it's a pretty big increase, and I'm just trying to understand how you got there across the portfolio. So, and I don't know if you can answer this or not, but if we were to compare it on the same asset basis, so i.e. the 27 properties in the IPO at December 12 versus December 13, are the base rents up roughly 7% on those properties?
We don't see a 7% increase on just the same assets. We do not forecast that.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the actuals, the historicals here, December 2012 versus December 2013.
Oh, I see. Neil, instead of having us bobble around, why don't you let us break that down on a more specific basis and report back to the market?
Yeah,
okay.
I don't
have those numbers in front of me.
No, sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the question, Neil.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 if you have any further questions or comments. There are no further questions registered on the telephone lines at this time. I'd now like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Rayburn.
Great. Well, thank you again, everyone. Again, we're delighted that we're delivering on what we promised. We will continue to deliver and perform. We thank you for your time and interest this morning, and we look forward to speaking with you all on future calls.
Thank you. The conference call has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.